You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love. You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love. You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love.
My name is Filippo Smilacu Bello. We're across the street from the White House in Lafayette Park, Washington, D.C. The protest that I do is protest for world peace against nuclear and atomic weapons, against human rights violations. It was started by William Thomas. And we've been here over 35 years as legally recognized. We just believe things like war is military action. Civilians shouldn't be killed in the act of war. It's not a civilian action. We believe that every country does have the right to have a military for the sake of self-defense, but not from nation invading on countries that have never attacked their nation. But Yugoslavia, Croatia, Serbia, Bosnia, Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Panama, Grenada, Mexico, Vietnam, Korea. I could go on, triple the amount of nations, but that the United States has attacked instead of using our military for self-defense. And we have to stop that and start using our money for our students and for our senior programs. And if we could start doing that, I'd start thinking of tapering back this protest. But we definitely need to take care of the nuclear and atomic industry. If that could be taken care of, then I can step away. My father was out here in 52 to 53 protesting against the Korean War and against atomic weapons. And in 1968, he brought William Thomas, my godfather, out here to protest. It was the March for Peace, Vietnam era, hippie era, 1968. And then when Vietnam War completely ended in 76, William waited for a couple of years and nobody was doing anything anymore, and there was a lot of other beasts to tackle. And he got sick of the apathy. He left his home in New Mexico and started coming out here with picket signs that eventually in 81 became legally recognized as a 24-hour-a-day protest, so he could do it 24 hours a day. Between 78 and 81, he didn't come every day. He didn't even come every month. But he did end up going and walking across and sometimes getting picked up across Africa. He ended up going to 17 African countries, 4 Middle East countries, 7 European countries, and then he went to Puerto Rico, so Africa, Middle East, Europe, Caribbean. And he was born in New York. He had been to Canada. He lived in New Mexico. He'd been to Mexico, so North America. So when he wanted to protest for world peace, he had really seen a good amount of the world. Myself, I ended up working for the King of Ethiopia. I went to 41 countries to investigate the lingering effects of war, and I went to 38 countries to write reports on human rights violations for the King of Ethiopia, speaking at the Organization of African Unity on 18 occasions before the leaders of the African Union. So when I came back, I also had a lot of world experience. So when we want world peace, it's not because we haven't seen it. We've seen the world. I've seen the human rights violations. I've seen the lingering effects of war. I've seen poverty. I've seen people that didn't have any piped water or any real toilet to use. I've seen people that were in hospitals suffering from radiation poisoning from chemical warfare, civilian amputees throughout the planet. So there's a difference between the hippies, which I think ethically I love the hippies, but a lot of them hadn't been to many countries. They wanted world peace without seeing it, you know, seeing the whole planet. Me and William Thomas wanted world peace because we'd seen much of the planet. So, but neither way is wrong. It's just sometimes you can be taken a little more seriously when you've seen more of the Earth, if you want world peace. And I have been. The United States has disarmed 10,287 nuclear warheads. When this protest started, not one nuclear warhead had been disarmed. A total of 10,695 nuclear warheads have been disarmed throughout the planet. And Bill Clinton went and spoke to the leaders of the nations that have nuclear weapons, and Ukraine, France, England, and South Africa. they heeded the call to disarm at least portions of their nuclear weaponry, with South Africa being the only one that disarmed 100% Nelson Mandela. So Nelson Mandela, man of peace, disarmed 100% of his nuclear warheads. Before he disarmed, the other African countries would attack South Africa to try to get proper treatment of their fellow brother and sister Africans in South Africa. So there was constant military attack by other African nations on South Africa. Once Nelson Mandela disarmed through this right now that we're speaking, South Africa has not been attacked militarily once. So when the governments of this world that have nuclear weapons try to say that having nuclear weapons is a deterrent to war, my question is, how about South Africa? Tuesday, by about 8 o'clock, a couple hours after people get off work, generally, maybe get a bite, people are showing up here. And just like you two holding cell phones, they're looking at the results as they're coming in. Of course, as they're saying, 60% of this state, 60% of that state, 45%, 78%, whatever. And I start seeing worry and panic on people's faces. Now, the District of Columbia voted 92.3% for Hillary Clinton, 2.7% for Jill Stein, and 5.02% for Donald Trump. So those are the people that live in this area, so more likely, of course, you're going to have a higher percentage of people coming and protesting. So then Wednesday, there was about 4,000 people in the park. And that is a serious, starting to get to like a really serious amount of people. He tried to remove us. 38 groups folded and left. There's three groups that took it to court. We lost our first court battle, so courts of appeal, and we won, and we're here, and we don't have to pay for a permit. Anybody that's going to have a protest that brings more than 25 people to the park, they need to pay for a 3 or 12-hour permit. Matching number is 25. You can stand in the middle of the street, you can stand in the park all you want with a sign, and as long as you don't have 25 people, it's not seen as a protest in the eyes of park police, park rangers, Secret Service, Department of Justice, Department of the Interior. So ours, I can have 150 people here from colleges. And that'd be fine. It's perfectly fine. And I don't have to pay for any permit. So we still get to do it the way the Founding Fathers said in our original documents, freedom of speech and freedom of expression. Unfortunately, others, if they're going to have a big protest, have to pay. I don't think that we should be exclusive, but we are the ones that took the Reagan administration to court. But I think everybody should have the right that is written in the founding documents, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, the right to a peaceful assembly of the people, the right to a peaceful protest, and the other part of the First Amendment is right to freedom of speech. Use that one, because no matter what religion or non-practitioners of faith religion, I accept them as long as I want peace. The human rights violations are only about power. And on that, something will happen, and I think it'll be a natural disaster judgment. Either whether you call it God or Mother Earth or nature or the yin and the yang, something's going to happen. There will be justice at one point. Eisenhower warned the nation. He said that the military-industrial complex shall eventually take the funding from the public education and senior programs. That's Dwight D. Eisenhower, who I consider the last good Republican. He's the Republican that sent the National Guard into the southern states that were governed by Democrats and forced them to integrate the public education system. If there was an Eisenhower running in this last election, he would have landslided. But we had a very close race, and, you know, they do what they always do, only report on the representatives of the Republican and the Democrat Party for President of the United States. They don't report on Gary Johnson unless he says something geographical he didn't know. Jill Stein, who's a wonderful choice, and they didn't speak on any of her great ideas. She's the only one that did show up at Standing Rock of all the people running for president. These nuts couldn't be legitimate because he was a 15-year-old kid. He had to be 35 to run for president of the United States. But these nuts actually got some votes. Bernie Sanders got a legitimate number of write-in votes, even though he said he supports Hillary Clinton. There's going to be no opposition when the Trump-Pence administration appoints people to the Supreme Court. So it's not all, this vote was not only about who became president of the United States. If the people like Trump this much, maybe they're going to give Pence a shot. And things that Pence wanted to pass into law, I'm even more against that than the non-experienced Trump had. Because Trump at least never tried to legislate anything in his past. But Pence has. And Pence, he's scary. He's a heartbeat away from the presidency. He will definitely appoint people that to the Supreme Court that will want to reverse Roe versus Wade. A lot of our health issue laws that deal with health, our FDA, our EPA. If people are scared of Trump, all they have to do is look at the man that stood with Trump. I'm not a rah, rah, rah Hillary guy either. There's a lot wrong with Hillary, a lot wrong with raising money through the Clinton Foundation, and money coming in from all over the planet that later on she was going to have to, you know, repay the political favors. So that was that part too that I'm not absolutely in line with. But to me, at the end of the day, once Bernie had already supported Hillary, I think the only sane candidate for America was Jill Stein. Pence is a terror. Trump doesn't know what he's doing. Hillary owes too much political favors to other countries. Gary Johnson doesn't know where other major cities are. The reform ticket, they were my number two. But I voted for Jill Stein.
1, 2, 3.
Day is done, gone the sun, from the lakes, from the hills, from the sky. All is well,
all is well, safely rest. God is nigh.
An act to execute certain treaty stipulations relating to Chinese, whereas in the opinion of the government of the United States, the coming of Chinese laborers to this country endangers the good order of certain localities within the territory. Therefore, be it enacted that from and after the expiration of 90 days next after the passage of this act, and until the expiration of 10 years next after the passage of this act, the coming of Chinese laborers to the United States be suspended. And during such suspension, it should not be lawful for any Chinese laborer to come, or having so come after the expiration of said 90 days, to remain within the United States. That the master of any vessel who shall knowingly bring within the United States on such vessel and land or permit to be landed any Chinese laborer from any foreign port or place shall be deemed guilty of a misdemeanor, and on conviction thereof shall be punished by a fine of not more than $500 for each and every such Chinese laborer so brought, and may be also imprisoned for a term not exceeding 1 year. That the two foregoing sections should not apply to Chinese laborers who were in the United States on the 17th day of November, 1880, or who should have come into the same before the expiration of 90 days next after the passage of this act.
Immigration Act of 1907, Section 2, that the following classes of aliens shall be excluded from admission into the United States: all idiots, imbeciles, feeble-minded persons, epileptics, insane persons, and persons who have been insane within 5 years previous, persons who have had two or more attacks of insanity at any time previously, paupers, persons likely to become a public charge, professional beggars, persons afflicted with tuberculosis or a loathsome or dangerous contagious disease, persons not comprehended within any of the foregoing excluded classes, who are found to be and are certified by the examining surgeon as being mentally or physically defective, such mental or physical defect being of a nature which may affect the ability of such alien to earn a living, persons who have been convicted of or admit having committed a felony or other crime or misdemeanor involving moral turpitude, polygamists, or persons who admit their belief in the practice of polygamy, anarchists, or persons who believe in or advocate the overthrow by force or violence of the government of the United States, or of all government, or of all forms of law, or the assassination of public officials, persons coming for immoral purposes, persons hereafter called contract laborers, who have been induced or solicited to migrate to the this country by offers or promises of employment, or in consequence of agreements, oral, written, or printed, expressed, or implied, to perform labor in this country of any kind, skilled or unskilled. All children under 16 years of age and accompanied by one or both of their parents at the discretion of the Secretary of Commerce and Labor, or under such regulations as he may from time to time prescribe, provided that nothing in this act shall exclude, if otherwise admissible, persons convicted of an offense purely political, not involving moral turpitude, provided further that the provisions of this section relating to the payments for tickets or passage by any corporation, association, society, municipality or foreign government shall not apply to the tickets or passage of aliens in immediate and continuous transit through the United States to foreign contiguous territory, and provided further that skilled labor may be imported if labor of like kind unemployed cannot be found in this country, and provided further that the provisions of this law applicable to contract labor shall not be held to exclude professional actors, artists, lecturers, singers, ministers of any religious denomination, professors for colleges or seminaries, persons belonging to any recognized learned profession, or persons employed strictly as personal or domestic servants.
An act to establish a uniform rule of naturalization, March 26, 1790. Be it enacted by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America, in Congress assembled, that any alien being a free white person who shall have resided within the limits and under the jurisdiction of the United States for the term of 2 years may be admitted to become a citizen thereof on application to any common law, court of record in any one of the states wherein he shall have resided for the term of 1 year at least, and making proof to the satisfaction of such court that he is a person of good character, and taking the oath or affirmation prescribed by law to support the Constitution of the United States, which oath or affirmation such court shall administer. And the clerk of such court shall record such application and the proceedings thereon, and thereupon such person shall be considered as a citizen of the United States. And the children of such persons so naturalized, dwelling within the United States, being under the age of 21 years at the time of such naturalization, shall also be considered as citizens of the United States. And the children of citizens of the United States may be born beyond sea or out of the limits of the United States, shall be considered as natural-born citizens, provided that the right of citizenship shall not descend to persons whose fathers have never been resident in the United States, provided also that no person heretofore proscribed by any states shall be admitted as a citizen as aforesaid, except by an act of the legislature of the state in which such person was proscribed.
That was selections from the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882, the Immigration Act of 1907, and an act to establish a uniform rule of naturalization of 1790, as read by my friends born outside of the United States.
You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love. You're listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love. You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love.
From The Power of Positive Thinking, A Practical Guide to Mastering the Problems of Everyday Living by Norman Vincent Peale. Chapter 1. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Have faith in your abilities. Without a humble but reasonable confidence in your own powers, you cannot be successful or happy. But with sound self-confidence, you can succeed. a sense of inferiority and inadequacy interferes with the attainment of your hopes, but self-confidence leads to self-realization and successful achievement. Because of the importance of this mental attitude, this book will help you believe in yourself and release your inner powers. It is appalling to realize the number of pathetic people who are hampered and made miserable by the malady popularly called the inferiority complex. But you need not suffer from this trouble. When the proper steps are taken, it can be overcome. You can develop creative faith in yourself, a faith that is justified. After speaking to a convention of businessmen in a city auditorium, I was on stage greeting people when a man approached me with a peculiar intensity of manner and asked, "May I talk with you about a matter of desperate importance to me?" I asked him to remain until the others had gone, then we went backstage and sat down. "I'm in this town to handle the most important business deal of my life," he explained. "If I succeed, it means everything to me. If I fail, I'm done for." I suggested that he relax a little, that nothing was quite that final. If he succeeded, that was fine. If he didn't, well, tomorrow was another day. "I have terrible disbelief in myself," he said dejectedly. "I have no confidence. I just don't believe I can put it over. I am very discouraged and depressed. In fact," he lamented, "I'm just about sunk. Here I am, 40 years old. Why is it that all my life I have been tormented by inferiority feelings, by lack of confidence, by self-doubt? I listened to your speech tonight in which you talked about the power of positive thinking, and I want to ask how I can get some faith in myself." And I said, "There are two steps to take," I replied. "First, it is important to discover why you have these feelings of no power. That requires analysis and will take time. We must approach the maladies of our emotional life as a physician probes to find something wrong physically. This cannot be done immediately, certainly not in our brief interview tonight, but it may require treatment to reach a permanent solution. But to pull you through this immediate problem, I shall give you a formula which will work if you use it. As you walk down the street tonight, I suggest that you repeat certain words which I shall give you today. Say them over several times after you get into bed. When you awaken tomorrow, repeat them three times before arising. On the way to your important appointment, say them three additional times. Do this with attitude of faith, and you will receive sufficient strength and ability to deal with this problem. Later, if you wish, we can go into analysis of your basic problem. But whatever we come up with following that study, the formula which I am now going to give you, can be a large factor in the eventual cure. Following is the affirmation which I gave him. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. He was unfamiliar with these words, so I wrote them on a card and had him read them over three times aloud. "Now, follow that prescription and I am sure things will come out all right." He pulled himself up, stood quietly for a moment, then said with considerable feeling, "Okay, doctor, okay." I watched him square his shoulders and walk out into the night. He seemed a pathetic figure, and yet the way he carried himself as he disappeared showed that faith was already at work in his mind. This book is written to suggest techniques and to give examples which demonstrate that you do not need to be defeated by anything. You can have peace of mind, improved health, and a never-ceasing flow of energy. In short, your life can be full of joy and satisfaction. Of this I have no doubt at all, for I have watched countless persons learn and apply a system of simple procedures that has brought about the foregoing benefits in their lives. These assertions, which may appear extravagant, are based on the bona fide demonstration and actual human experience. Altogether, too many people are defeated by the everyday problems of life. They go on struggling, perhaps even whining, through their days with a sense of dull resentment at what they consider the bad breaks life has given them. In a sense, there may be such a thing as, quote, the breaks in life, but there is also a spirit and a method by which we can control and even determine those breaks. It is a pity that people should let themselves be defeated by problems, cares, and the difficulty of human existence, and it is also quite unnecessary. In saying this, I certainly do not ignore or minimize the hardships and tragedies of the world, but neither do I allow them to dominate. You can permit obstacles to control your mind to the point where they are uppermost and thus become the dominating factors in your thought pattern. By learning how to cast them from the mind, by refusing to become mentally subservient to them, and by channeling spiritual power through your thoughts, you can rise above obstacles which ordinarily might defeat you. By methods I shall outline, obstacles are simply not permitted to destroy your happiness and well-being. You need be defeated only if you are willing to be. This book teaches you how to will not to be. The purpose of this book is very direct and simple one. It makes no pretense. How can I be so certain that the practice of these principles will produce such results? The answer is simply that for many years, the Marble Collegiate Church of New York City, we have taught a system of creative living based on spiritual techniques, carefully noting its operation in the lives of hundreds of people. It is no speculative series of extravagant assertions that I make. For these principles have worked so efficiently over so long a period of time that they are now firmly established as documented and demonstrable truth. The system outlined is a perfected and amazing method of successful living.
No sense to me. Do you know that? No. You make no sense to me. Do you know that? No. And I don't really care. It figures. And, well, everything kind of figures, doesn't it? I guess so. What are you doing? I'm just walking. I can hear you. Why are you walking around like that? I don't know. I needed to walk around a little bit just to move my body. I've just been sitting. Why have you been sitting? I've been reading. Reading what? Reading books, library books. Is that it? What books? Just an assortment of books from all over, just about things that I'm interested in right now. What, you don't want to talk about it? It's not that I don't want to talk about it, it's just my head is full. It's full. Is it full? Full of what? Full of thoughts. Floating thoughts. Floating all around you and me. I feel them too. Do you see them? Do you feel them? Floating. I'm floating. You are? Where? You don't look like you're floating. I am. I'm floating in my mind. Do you see the difference between floating on the outside and floating in one's mind? Yes. I can do that too. Show me. Okay. You have to be quiet and not say anything. I'm doing it. I know. I can see. I'm back down. Welcome back. I am too. Where on earth are all the cards? All the business cards I've lost over the years? So many. Cards. That's what you're thinking about right now, business cards. Why are you such a pessimist about everything that I want to do and say and see and act and feel? Oh, don't get your feelings up in a bunch. I'm just here to be with you, to go through whatever it is you're doing. I think this recording must come to an end now. I agree. Let's stop talking and just be. Yes, let's.
A list of options given an individual in the wake of a Trump presidency. In the wake of a Trump presidency, one could wake up to dozens of text messages and emails, some from friends and family one hasn't heard of in years. Each one a tenuous, "Hey, just checking in. You doing okay?" In the wake of a Trump presidency, one could visit potluck after potluck where friends gather and certainly to be in company. One could talk endlessly of the weather, knowing that a good snow would give one a good excuse to not leave the house. One could, of course, try to fit this new paradigm into anything already known. Maybe it's like Reagan or Harry Potter. One could let life flow on as usual, readjusting what feels normal and remembering that, well, we've always been scared. In the wake of a Trump presidency, one could turn off the GPS on their phone. One could encrypt their emails, download Signal and Tor, install a VPN. One could sign up for self-defense classes. One could be sent a can of pepper spray in the mail by one's mother. One could consider, for the first time, whether owning a gun would really be all that bad of an idea. In the wake of a Trump presidency, one could buy out all of the non-prescription birth control at the local Walgreens. One could talk to their doctor into giving them an IUD, despite the possible risks. One could consider if they ever really wanted kids anyway, and wouldn't it be easier to just get surgery now? One could replace one's glasses, get one's wisdom teeth out, go in for a breast cancer examination, schedule a CAT scan. One could pursue each and every medical procedure available before one could no longer afford insurance. One could become vaccinated, pursuing HPV and flu and anything that will keep one from becoming sick, and anything needed to leave the country all of a sudden for anywhere else. In the wake of a Trump presidency, one could be poring through legal documents, considering how long to apply for citizenship. A name change, adoption. One could be considering whether it's worth it to try to change gender markers on a passport or birth certificate with a sudden 70-day window. In the wake of a Trump presidency, one can close one's bank account, change to a local credit union. One could get off of Facebook and Twitter, cancel credit cards. One could protest. One could stand in solidarity with others, both like and unlike them. In the wake of a Trump presidency, One could wake up in the morning. One could make breakfast and coffee. One could recognize that sometimes even being alive is the work. Or one could find the nearest river, woods, desert, ocean, walk into it, and not look back. Or one could start working, volunteering, planning, protesting. One could start working and not ever stop.
Tere hi naam se har ibtida hai, tere hi naam tak har intiha hai, teri hamdo sana alhamdulillah ke tu mere muhammad ka khuda hai. Allahu
Listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love. You're listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love. You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love.
WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.